Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to WrestleMania Week here on Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Welcome everyone to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet, another show on the road to WrestleMania. We've had the best of the rest, we've had a Kofi profile, a Batista profile, and we've talked the undercard. We're now going to talk the Hall of Fame, and how fitting that I have a panel of first ballot absolute Hall of Shamers with me today. I'm Ross McLeod, and joining me is a man who on sweeps is the GOAT, and on quizzes is SHIT, the embodiment of the Glasgow Uni accent. David Campbell.
See, I thought this was my induction into the SSR Hall of Fame today, so I'm actually kind of disappointed that there's no ceremony or pomp and circumstance. It's fine.
There's caramel nibs, Starbucks, and Haribo. I mean, what more do you want? There's also M&M's at that end of the day.
That's what we need.
Spoil for choice.
Yes. Apologies for any rustling here, lads. We are having our dinner. Next up is a man that's blown more quizzes than Rafe Rovers have promotion chances.
Oh.
A man who, much like me, gave David Campbell a platform to be a wee fanny. He's the founder of the GUPWS Twitter account, Nathan Fisher.
Yeah, I created GUPWS, now one day I'm going to have to kill it.
Just, that's your legacy, sitting, sending Brexit tweets to Phil Twine. And up next, a man who, as well as hosting this party tonight, as we are currently in Casa del Lucas, although we know Hazel runs this yard, it's a man who hosted a show about wrestlers who didn't quite make the mountaintop. Ironic, as he still can't win the ESSR title. Alan, how are you?
Everyone knows there's a conspiracy against the big dog. Roman proved it, and so will I.
Christ, this goes out on Friday, actually. You could win the title the day this goes out.
Damn right, I'm winning and retaining.
You will be the guy to hold it for 2 days, won't you?
Nope, I'm the guy to hold it for
now. Just to, would that be the shortest reign, yeah?
No.
No, it'd probably be Scotty's.
Scott, yeah.
Scott on the quiz show.
You're Scott or Quacky.
Oh, yeah.
No, Scott won it on the quiz.
Aye, because he won it.
Aye, aye.
And then
Dave
run it back.
It's all fine now. It's all good.
Dave's like, Dave, Scott's like you. He just blows it in the last round.
And I'm now getting the prestigious title of Nathan Fisher Award. It's now the Big Dog Award, because I've finished saying more times than Nathan.
It'll now be called the 43 Award with Scott's face on it. Like,
no! I should feel that.
Scott with a cane mask crying. He's meant to be editing this. I don't know why. I've always loved Scott, me. Anyway, we're going to talk Hall of Fame. It's always a topic of discussion, you know, who's in, who should be in, who's went in too late. And we're going to start off with two of the sort of iffy picks, if you will, picks that are, we'll put them in the Coco Beware category, because he's always the one people bring up. First off, Tori Wilson. So she was brought in the invasion angle. She was meant to be a big part of a Vince McMahon love triangle, where Linda would divorce Vince for cheating on her with Tori Wilson and give half the company to Shane. They scrapped that, and for the next 7 years, she just sort of was there. David, do you have any fond memories of Tori Wilson?
I think she took part in one of the best technical wrestling matches I've ever seen, the Playboy Pillow Fight at WrestleMania 22.
Yeah, yeah.
Candice Michelle, absolute Matt classic, I think we'd describe it, pardon the pun. But, you know, Tori Wilson, it's hard to say she doesn't deserve it because of her longevity, as you pointed out there, Ross. The fact that she actually didn't win a title when she was in WWE, mm-hmm. does that matter? Does it not matter? I think when it boils down to it, Tori Wilson is a name that sort of non-wrestling fans might know and might get them a bit of mainstream exposure because of the things that she's done since she left the company and the name she established back in the most popular time. So in that sense, yes, I get why she's going in. She kind of does deserve it in a sense because of that mainstream exposure.
I totally agree. Well, some of the matches actually weren't that bad. You know, it's just sad that she wrestled at a time where women's wrestling was really demoted to the toilet break, as they called it. And the match, she had some decent rivalries as well. But here's another thing which just came back as well. She's actually not only looking younger, God knows how she's done, but she's actually performing better when she is actually wrestling. So she's actually improved with age, Slipisky.
Yeah.
It's like Shawn Michaels as well. I think that's a wrestling thing. Footballers hit their peak at 28, wrestlers hit it at 38.
Aye.
Yeah.
It was when she came back in the Rumble, like, I completely agree with you, Alan. She surprised me. I was like, I didn't think I saw Tori Wilson hitting these moves like back in the day, you know. So,
and now she looks younger than she did when she first came in.
Yeah.
You know.
Nathan. To quote someone who we'll be talking about later on tonight, Tori Wilson, shucky ducky, quack, quack. I think she deserves to be in the Hall of Fame as well. Obviously, technically quite limited, but when you see that she did two Playboy shoots, you could argue she brought more eyes to the product during that time than other people who will discuss later on.
Plus, didn't that just outsell Sable, which was the highest selling one Playboys ever at that point?
Sable as well.
Yeah. And to have a one-on-one, take the context of the match into account if you want, to have a one-on-one women's match at WrestleMania, that not many people can say they had that in that era, and we had two in that one show.
There's a lot of women who you could argue could be, who should be in before her, but she still deserves a place, I think.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. So our panel have went with agreed, three votes out of three, Tori should be in. Next up is the man of a billion gimmicks. He's Hulk Hogan's wee brother. He's Hulk Hogan's best pal. He's a barber, a booty man, a silent man, a Zodiac killer. Yeah. I'm not going to list all the gimmicks, we'll be here the whole show.
Space Cowboy.
He is Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Nathan, I know you're kind of against this one.
What has he contributed to the business? Yeah, apart from being Hulk Hogan's pal, like, literally, I mean, I think he's won like a tag title twice, like once or twice. But, like, he doesn't deserve to be there. Am I right in saying you want him to be in?
I don't know. Like, I've never seen him before. Like, I can honestly say that I've never seen any footage.
Someone said, I don't know if it was the Hall of Fame Charlie group chat, but it's a good choice, but I can't remember who.
I said a good choice because I just know his name. Because people mention him all the time, but the only thing I've seen of Brutus the Barber Beefcake is him like smiling crazily and holding like those shears. Like, that's the only footage of him I've seen. Like, so, and it's not as though, like, with all of legends, they like to bring them back occasionally and do stuff with them. I've been watching regularly since 2006, can't remember seeing Brutus the Barber Beefcake on any WWE show.
I think he did like one skit in the Edge and Christian show, and all we learned for that is he has both nipples pierced.
Thanks for sharing. To know that.
Alan, thoughts on Beefcake other than his nipples? Take his nipples out of your mind.
I can't. You've put them in there, you horrible human being. The only thing, and this will break Derek's heart, I'm sorry Derek, I know we discussed it yesterday, but no, tough titty, bring the nipples in. his skit show, you might call it, gave us one of the greatest scenes in history of wrestling, breaking up the rockers. Shawn Michaels flung Marty Jannetty through the window. That's about it for me. And I'm not upset he's in it, because there's a lot of people who's in the Hall of Fame that really shouldn't be in it, in my opinion. Not surprised he's going in, but I'm not kind of saying he should deserve to be in it, because although he's maybe not really done a lot, his name has been around for a long, long time, and people do recognise the name.
To me, he's one of these ones who is... See, when the 80s boom took off, he just happened to be there. Like, everyone remembers, like, the first season of, say, a TV, like, kids' TV show they watch, with the cast, like a Power Rangers. Much like wrestling, the cast change regularly. You remember your ones, but they're not always the best ones. It's just because you watched it when you were a kid. He was there at the boom period, and it just sort of seems like, Nathan says, it was Hulk Hogan's pal. So that's how he got into the WWF. That's how he got a big push. So we got a tag title match at one WrestleMania, teaming with Hulk Hogan. And it was just so Hulk Hogan could spoil the main event later that night.
Pre-WWF, we did have a gimmick where it was literally Hulk Hogan's brother.
Yeah, he was Terry Bogdell. It's just...
Was this not announced on Monday there?
Mm-hmm.
Because I actually thought it was an April Fool. And then I was like, wait,
but it was leaked for like 2 weeks earlier.
Yeah.
I seen it all on social media was going in, and I was really hoping for Bulldog this year.
Yeah,
I feel like this is the time for Bulldog.
Well, see, the other name that was coming up was Taz, and I think Taz would have been despite the fact that WWE don't have the best relationship now, Taz for me is a lot more deserving and a lot more relevant to the company.
He broke Kurt Angle's streak at the Royal Rumble 2000. It's not Undertaker streak, but he'd went something like 40 odd matches in a defeat. And he ended Angle in about 3 minutes.
He's for his commentary work as well. I agree with Nathan. I agree with him.
Right. Taz would have been Taz would have been a good show.
So we would have rather Taz. Do we think maybe this is, we've seen how WWE have tried to slowly bring Hulk Hogan slowly but surely back into the company?
Yeah, I mean, he's, David said before, but Hulk Hogan still got an implants. He's still getting his pelvis in.
Stupid. It genuinely is. I could rant about this Hulk Hogan thing for days.
Fire away.
Hulk Hogan needs WWE more than WWE needs Hulk Hogan, but WWE does not seem to realise this. Like, this is one of the things I think there's, like, wrestling fans tend to divide things into Vince McMahon thinking and Triple H thinking. That seems to be, like, a divide I see these days. The Hulk Hogan thing, for me, is very much Vince McMahon thinking, like, oh, Hulk Hogan, damn it. Like, 9 WrestleManias in a row, let's get him back, you know? And it's like, he can't let go of the past, you know? That was a terrible impression.
I mean, the guy transcended wrestling, if you think about it. He's the first person ever, most people, I'd say 9 times ever wrestling match of all. For usually wrestling, given the first name, Hogan's going to be on the lips of 99% of them.
He's
the reason, pretty much, can't speak for everyone else, but he's the reason I got into wrestling. I grew up idolising Hulk Hogan, and up until before I moved here, I still had my Hulk Hogan shampoo bottle of him with his arms up, and it says in his t-shirt, take your vitamins, you know, eat well and all that stuff. I still had that, I wasn't allowed to bring it. But you know, I totally agree with you though. At the same time, WWE does not need him.
Yeah,
they've not announced
some holder. Is he ducking somebody?
There is no. There's been no inductees announced. Inductors. I think that's
true.
Do you think that maybe because they're going to have Hulk induct Beefcake, and they don't want the backlash?
They said that they're doing away with inductors, but so that might be the case. If it's not the case, and it is surprise inductors. I don't think Hulk Hogan will get the best reception at the Hall of Fame. This is a lot of indie fans who might be at that show, a lot of clued up fans who will be at that show, who know the sort of backstory behind the reason why he departed WWE for a number of years. I don't think it's a smart move. Fair enough in Saudi Arabia, but not in the weekend before WrestleMania.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll move on to our first one. Nathan alluded to this inductee earlier. Shucky Ducky Quack Quack. Booker T is already in the Hall of Fame. He's now going in as part of Harlem Heat with his brother Stevie Ray. Dave, something you wanted to talk about is the two-time inductees. It's something I was thinking about this morning. If someone does well in a tag team, but the other tag partner is already in the Hall of Fame, is it right to put them in as a team, or should the other one just go in on his own?
I think they should go in on their own. Because think about if you're going to induct Edge and Christian. I think it'd be a slap in the face to Christian and induct them in a tag team. And I think that's the same with Stevie Ray. He's had his own independent contributions to the wrestling business. Maybe not as much as Booker has, but he's done enough. It's the same if we go and talk about the Anvil later on. The reason I think they've done it this year of all years is because they don't have a clear-cut headliner, and they didn't want to induct Triple H on his own outside of D-Generation X. And I think that's why we've got all these two-time Hall of Famers to come in, to try and get people and more eyes on the show. Like, oh, we're going to see Booker T, there's a name I recognise. We're going to see Bret Hart, there's a name I recognise. Harlem Heat, obviously the greatest tag team in WCW history. No doubt about it, you know what I mean? I've went back and watched some of the old Nitros with them. Great matches, great innovative tag team for their time, immensely popular. Do I think they should have just inducted Stevie Ray on his own? Aye.
I'm going to say no, purely because the only single Stevie Ray feud I can remember is when him and Booker T were feuding over Booker's right to use the word T at the end of his name. It's like Pete Russo with WCW, but I mean, I can see where Dave's coming from. It does kind of like take away the fact that he's obviously contributed to the business as well as part of the tag team. It's hard to explain, like, he kind of. And as well, although in WWF and like in Stevie Ray's case, WCW, he's maybe not had the high profile singles feud. He would have had like pre-WWF, and I think it should be recognised by him going solo as well, yeah. So I can see both sides.
Well,
I see both sides, but his career as a singles wrestler is not worthy, I think, for me. I don't know much about him as a single wrestler, but I'm not disrespecting in that way, because I still have to go back and look at, but I think as a tag team, absolutely deserving. They set, you know, the groundwork for so many of the tag teams. I mean, Outlaws have admitted they were an influence. you know, and Eddie Christian admitted it as well, and a few others. So these, and these are guys that are Hall of Fame worthy, or are going into the Hall of Fame, that deserve their place. And I think maybe TV will one day get his chance to win. Maybe, don't know, but I think the Alan deserves to win as a team.
For me, it's difficult because you could talk about maybe Booker T, and we'll just talk about why Hulk Hogan shouldn't be there to induct people. Booker T broke a lot of boundaries for African American superstars and superstars of colour in WCW and WWF and wrestling as a whole. But on the flip side of that, as a tag team, you know, even earlier in the late 80s and mid 90s, Harlem Heat were breaking down barriers, and I think that's maybe why they want to put them in as a team for what they've done. They wanted to put Booker in once for what he did individually for people of colour, and the Harlem Heat for the barriers they broke down as well.
Totally. Yeah. And I probably wouldn't be as vocally against it if it wasn't for the fact that we're getting 3 two-time Hall of Famers in this year's class. Yeah, I completely understand the point you're making there, Ross. And with Harlem Heat, they're probably, out of all the teams and groups including two-time Hall of Famers in this class, they're probably the team that most deserves to go in their own, like as a tag team, as a unit, because of everything you just said. I think it's just because of the context of the class this year that I have the problem with it.
Well, we'll bring up later on the two-time thing, because I always thought it was so special for Flair, and now it kind of feels a bit tangible. I think we'll talk about it later on, but someone's just totally dawned on me and nobody's mentioned it. Maybe we're not wanting to mention it, but I will. The reason for me that just came to mind that they're going in is because this is like WWE's apology for Hogan. The end story involved Booker T. So is this to be applauded? And if there is going to be a guest inductor, my money would be Hogan doing this one. It's his way of trying to rectify that wrong.
That would be the worst thing ever.
And the thing is, that could go one of two ways. It can be, as you say, the worst thing ever, and it goes down badly. Or this could be the moment where people realise he made a stupid mistake, and this is them showing the world, no Halloween. Get by it, just move on. If they're genuinely really sorry, move on, accept it, move on. People make mistakes.
I think that would go down well at all.
Alan, do you want to sit there and hear Hulk Hogan say, oh, they broke down barriers for African American wrestlers, brother, knowing what he did?
Hulk Hogan is going to induct him, he makes it short and sweet. Like, he just says, for me, the greatest tag team in the history of wrestling, Harlem Heat. Just say that. That would probably get him over with the fans, and people would accept that.
Ironically enough, because the most noteworthy promo that Harlem Heat have ever cut involved Hulk Hogan, and it's the infamous Hulk Hogan, we are coming for you.
Oh, I forgot that.
Yes. Yeah. And something I want to talk about as well, we talked about two-time inductors. Stevie Ray and Booker T have been very vocal on Twitter about Sherry Martel, Sensational Sherry, saying that, you know, Booker's going in twice, they want Sherry in twice because she was a massive part of them in WCW. Do you think it's something they've done before? You know, they put their own version of the Horseman in, they put we'll talk about later, they're only putting two of the Hart Foundation in, they're putting the original tag team. Is it something that the inductees should get to choose, like, by the way, we want our fellow tag partner in? Do you think that's fair, or do you think it should be just a case of take what you're given?
I think you should get a choice, yeah. I mean, there's another member of Harlem Heat who should be getting inducted as well, the third member of Harlem Heat, 2K, Big T, Ahmed Johnson. I mean, Christopher and Billy Gunn have calls there as one, yes, is that Ahmed Johnson deserves to be up there. Superb.
In an ideal world, yes, but it's Vinnie McMahon. He is so deluded with the real world right now that, it's his way or the highway. And don't get me wrong, he's obviously got an empire. He's changed wrestling, he's changed sports, entertainment, he's done it all. But his time needs to come. He needs to step aside and let Triple H take over.
Even on Sherry Martel, like, I don't see why they would be against it. Like, they've already inducted her in the Hall of Fame back in 2006. When the Moolah scandal came out, they were considering changing the name of the Battle Royal to the Sensational Sherry Memorial Battle Royal. So I don't see why someone with the name value and one of the greatest professional wrestling managers of all time, and Sherry Martel, wouldn't be considered as going in as a two-time Hall of Famer. If you're going to do it anyway, like you said, might as well.
Yeah, might as well. So I think we all agree both of them deserve to go in as a team. I think the only reason we're sort of against Booker part is because there's so many two-timers going in this year, I think. Is that safe to say?
Well, I mean, there's so many. I mean, there's four in total.
I mean, there's three going in
this year. As I said earlier, and we'll talk about it later on, it's kind of tarnished it slightly with Flair having that title for so long.
Fair enough. So we moved from one two-timer to another two-timer. Bret the Hitman Hart, I think on his name value alone, you say that to people, everyone can go, yeah, if someone goes in twice, he deserves it. We've got the Hart Foundation going on. We could talk all day about why Owen's not going in, you know, the unfortunate history there. You talked about Bulldog, Alan. Do you think they should have included Brian Pillman and Bulldog? Absolutely. If they were going to...
Bulldog's also won his own right, and mm-hmm. I actually signed a petition to try and get him in this year, but mm-hmm. it came to no avail. But Bulldog should have been included in that, because they are one of the greatest factions. Yeah, Night Hart and Bret Hart are the original tag team, but that, from that actual faction was tremendous, and their rivalry with the likes of Nation, DX, brilliant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I just want to say, I mean, if you know, like, so Austin, Shamrock, LOD as well, they're the first to do that whole face in Canada, here in America thing as well. I mean, that whole 997 as a whole is a very underrated year. I think they're a very underrated faction. I think the odds have to go in together.
I would say, I think you look at the longevity of the Hart Foundation as a tag team, was probably, from what, when I was doing my research, probably across 7 years, while as the Hart Foundation as a stable was like a year or just over it, if I can remember correctly. So I think they've probably factored that in as well. Like, when you say the name Hart Foundation, probably most people do remember the tag team of the Hitman and the Anvil. What I will say is this, I think Jim the Anvil Neidhart was a big enough personality and has a big enough sort of mainstream following, even with, and I hate to bring up the show Total Divas, like, he has a mainstream stuff from that, like, he's mentioned and featured in that show quite prominently. So I think if there was, like, he could have went in his own, like I said, like, he has enough clout, he has enough name value within the industry. The Hart Foundation's one of the greatest tag teams of all time. I can't have too many complaints about the tag team going in together.
Can I just ask a question? Obviously he's going to be greatly missed, and as I said, he deserves to go in as a singles competitor as well. Do you think the death's the only reason he's gone in? That's the only reason they're getting inducted?
I
hope not, personally.
I think they would have put him in, but I think I'm actually surprised this year you didn't see Vader go in. Because Vader was one, he mentioned it when he inducted Stan Stasiak, Stan Hansen, that he did want to be a Hall of Famer, and there was a massive Twitter petition to get him in. I'm surprised he's not in this year. I think the timing, much like Guerrero and Edge retiring suddenly, is the reason he's went in this year. But I do think it would have been in the future. It's just the fact that he died so suddenly. You know, he was 60, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I don't think that should take away from the induction. Like, a lot of people will say that, like, oh, the only reason he's going in is because he's dead. He would have went in eventually. Being cynical, they've got Natalya in the company. It'll be a good segment for Total Divas for them to film for the reality show.
Yeah.
You've got to take that into account as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because obviously, as you said, he was instrumental in the early years of Bret Hart would have made it himself. But, you know, in the early 80s, you know, it was Land of the Giants. The smaller guy needed a big guy. And Anvil played his part well. He then was a big part with the Owen and Bret feud. You know, we mentioned it on our best WrestleMania opener show. That's one of the best matches of all time. That was a big part of the feud. And then 97, as you mentioned, Nathan, an underrated year. So I think he's got enough to go in on his own, but I think that's the reason. Obviously, Natalya as well, he trained her, and he is her father.
Yeah.
Enough to go on his own, but he is going in. I think we're not complaining about certain ones going in. I think it's just more the fact that, as you said, Flair was the only two-time Hall of Famer, and in the space of 1 year, it's now went from one to four two-time Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
I think that's the only thing we're sort of annoyed at.
I think if it was Bret Hart who became like the second two-time Hall of Famer and that was it, people would be like, I sound like, is Bret, like, he probably deserves it. But it's like you say, you've got Bret and then you've got Sean, who doesn't really need to go in again, let's be honest. And then Booker as well, and it's nothing against Booker T, but he's not on the level of those other guys for me, you know what I mean, in terms of main event drawing power. So I think that's probably why the discussion's happening.
And of course, there's always a speech at the Hall of Fame. Bret Hart is—he's not afraid to say what's on his mind. Will we hear some rather controversial moments from Bret Hart this year?
I think he's just going to come out and say Triple H versus The Undertaker, end of an era, was a rubbish match, and I'll stand by it till my dying day. And that'll be the end of the speech.
I think he'll be very PC this one, because he wouldn't want Jim's induction to be tarnished.
I think that's actually true. I think if it was
if it was him going in again, and Bulldog was going in with him. Well, actually, they're all dead now, I suppose. It doesn't matter. If CV was going in with someone else who was still living, I you would let Brett.
It's actually a sad moment.
It is, but he's the last one, and for that, he'll not tarnish Danville's reputation.
He hasn't got the ego.
If, for example, Bulldog was still loving, I reckon the two of them ripped in whichever they wanted. They made it awkward. But because he's the last one, I think he'll just say thanks, do his speech and walk away.
I think as well, it is a nice moment because we remember Bret's went in before, but he didn't do the WrestleMania the next night.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
He was still, it was only 10 years after the Screwjob.
Yeah.
The bridges hadn't been mended yet.
Yeah.
It's nice now that Bret is going to get the big, you know, the big, one last big pop in a massive stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's nice for him too, and I think, as you said, Alan, he's not going to tarnish it for the likes of his niece Natalia or his friend and brother-in-law, Jimmy Anvil.
If I'm tearing up now, that's
it's quite sad to think of that.
Yeah.
I said, just dawned to me, he's the only one left. That faction. Just haunt it. You forget the rest of them are there.
There's a photo on Twitter. It was the rest of them in black and white, and Bret's the only one got us the eyes.
Oh, man.
I know. We do apologise for anybody that's sitting greeting right now. We did come in here having a right laugh. We had sweeties and everything, and we were talking about deaths. So, our next inductee is Sue Aitkenson from, I apologise if I butchered that name, is going to be the Warrior Award. She's credited with the WrestleMania Reading Challenge and she's credited with WWE's relationship with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Just, obviously, the Warrior Award itself, forget about the man and the controversy because we could be here for ages. His Warrior Award was they wanted backstage people that would never be recognised to be awarded. Are we glad that we've kind of moved towards this? The sort of what it was intended to be.
Aye, but I'm not going to say you shouldn't have inducted like Corner of the Crusher and stuff like that. I think the people who had it before, like obviously, deserve some sort of acknowledgement, and those have been nice gestures on WWE's part. I do think it's good we see backstage people going in. Make-A-Wish has been a great charitable cause. John Cena, obviously, a big proponent of that. It's good that they're moving towards that. No complaints, I'm not going to be controversial about this induction.
It is one of those ones that's it's sort of a minefield. It's like, should it have been used the way beforehand? But then again, we're not going to turn around and go, you know, Connor the Crusher, you know, in the 6 years he was on this planet, did so much for cancer awareness. You know, you've got that Jarius who survived multiple diseases and has done so much, you know. I can't remember the daytime TV host, but a massive breast cancer awareness person.
Yeah.
Eric, I forgot all their names, I do apologise. But you know, the past Warrior inductees, it is hard to turn and go, you don't deserve it. It should have been, you know, the guy that does the costumes backstage.
Aye, where's Jim Johnston?
It is a hard one as well, you know, because the award itself is, like, people aren't fan of the Warrior having an award after him, and then people aren't fan, you know, if it's being used one way or another. It is just... But it's nice to see Sue, who has done so much for charity, get a wee recognition, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nene's know who she is, you know. I'm sure John Cena will end up to this.
John Cena, number one speed dial.
Yeah.
John, I need you to go down to California. Oh, God,
do you know what I hope happens? I hope Sue gets the biggest pop at WrestleMania. That's what I hope.
She probably will.
Justice for, I want Sue in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
She gets that centre star on stage. Never mind DX. Sue.
Oh God, can you just imagine Shawn Michaels spray painting a big giant X on poor Sue evening gown for WrestleMania, dude. The X are back.
Mad Sue. And Reading's good and all, so.
Reading's
you think that they're moving towards what Warrior actually wanted for the world, now that Dana Warrior is in the creative team?
Ah.
Is she? I did not know.
She's a writer now?
Yeah.
I did not know she was on the creative team.
Yeah, she's a writer.
Billy
Graham was not happy about it. Billy Graham is like
Billy Graham is the wrestler equivalent of Jim Cornette. He's just never happy at anything.
Nah.
Moving on from a good old Southern baller who Jim Cornette would be happy that's going in, it's the Honky Tonk Man. He's got his long side buns, his hair slicked back, he's came to your town in his bean Cadillac. he's the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time. He's probably never going to be beaten because that was the era of, you know, 500, 600 day title reigns. Alan, I know you're not a fan of a long title reign, more than like 4 or 5 months.
I'd say six at a push.
Because
you can get a couple of decent rivalries in 6 months. I mean, Punk's reign went stale. Let's not go into Lesnar.
AJ,
I'm a big fan of AJ. I did like the fact that he was a champion for a long time, but we were discussing yesterday, David, in the creative point of perspective, WWE failed him. Nakamura, it's a dream rivalry, and it just bombed. And that should have been the one that picked up and just set it off. and there's a lot of ones they missed. Samoa Joe one came too little too late. People were just waiting for AJ to drop. That passion for it in coin. But yeah, back then, as you see, because you had around that time, Hogan was champion for nearly 3 years or something, like 4 years. You know, they all held big titles, so yeah, he deservedly deserved to go in. And also the fact the way he put over Warrior as well, when Warrior took off him. And he was always entertaining. And he was the Rock's, you know, idol for, you know, the sideburns. So, definitely deserved to win.
I'm sorry, all I can think of now is the Rock singing the Honky Tonk Man theme song. Nathan, what are your thoughts on the Honky Tonk Man going in and thoughts of his Intercontinental title run?
I agree with what Alan said. Don't know much about his career, but like Alan said, the one title reign helped spearrocket the Warrior on towards the world title the following year. Did he have a later run as well?
I think
he came back in the 90s.
Aye, he came back in the 90s.
He did commentary actually.
He
served as a commentator as well. Surprised about that actually, because they did not have bad blood with Vince for a while.
Yeah, so what I was saying when he got inducted was they must have paid him handsomely because he has been offered a fair few years. They always like to have a sort of mid-card or 80s guy going because it always pops the crowd and it's always a nice wee little wake up in the middle of the Hall of Fame ceremony. For years he said, I won't abandon the indies, that's where all my money comes from, and WWE weren't going to offer him what the likes of WrestleCon and, you know, all these conventions were offering him, so they must have paid him handsomely to get him this year, because for years it's not a real Hall of Fame, I mean, if I can't go visit it, it's not a real Hall of Fame, which, I mean, is a hard argument to fight against. You know, we can drive down the road to Hampden Park and go visit the Scottish Football Hall of Fame, you know what I mean? You go to Ibrox or Parkhead, there's a big placard of all the players in the Hall of Fame, so, you know, it's a hard argument to, you know, argue against.
Yeah, and I do think there should be a physical Hall of Fame, and I actually think it would do good business for WWE. You can use it as a sort of archive.
Our new headquarters is going to have it.
Yeah, that'd be class. It would be class. Mm-hmm. The only thing I remember of Honky Tonk Man is the Santino Marella's Honkometer, the most pathetic attempt to try and catch up with the Honky Tonk Man reign, become the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all the times. But you know what? The song's nice.
It's nice to see him go in. I think he does deserve to go in. He is. Like we talked about Beefcake, his contribution was he was Hogan's friend. When it suited him, you know, when he needed to sell books, he sold Hogan out quicker than anything. But, you know, Honky Tonk Man was always his own man, never abandoned the indies, except for this year. And he was one of the 11 men eliminated by Kane in the 2001 Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that's my first memory of him.
That's my favourite memory of the Honky Tonk Man. Just, hold on a minute, big fella, I'm going to sing a song. Kane takes the guitar off him and just rattles it off his head.
I just say I don't like that. Do not disrespect the guitar. It's a sad thing. Jeff Jarrett, put your finger out, stop hitting people with guitars. Find a new tool.
Did he did he not have interactions with Cyndi Lauper at WrestleMania? I remember he had the entrance in the Cadillac, did he not? His big car, that was lovely. That was like a really good WrestleMania entrance, so obviously an iconic moment on the grandest stage of them all, as they would say.
That was with Greg Valentine and DDP as a driver.
DDP was the driver, have you ever heard the DDP story about that?
No.
It's that the creative team liked his Cadillac, so the Cadillac got the job, not him.
Class.
Yeah, so the car got the payday, not him.
Well, so, that is WWE in a nutshell.
Now he's a Hall of Fame.
So we've talked Honky Tonk Man, Tori Wilson, Brutus Beefcake, the Hart Foundation, Harlem Heat, and Big Sue. Big Sue, who we will all be cheering.
Yes.
We're marks for Big Sue.
We all love Big Sue. Big Sue for a 3-time Hall of Famer. One for the Warrior, one for the Make-A-Wish, one for the
Reading Challenge.
Reading Challenge, and one for just being Sue.
Yeah, the Sue Award.
Yes. Hashtag Sue 3 times. Get it trending. So, we're taking a piss at this, people. I've put like 3 pence in a charity bucket occasionally, passing charity people in John Square. That's about it.
Do you know, it was when Triple H's tweet came out, I was like, he's struggling for words. It's like he always has things to say on people, but then it's like once and he's just like, no, sure, like, Sue was he's always right, here.
He's writing the tweet going, why is this not about the limiter anymore? He's an only 90 characters.
I know, you can always tell as well with Vince McMahon, it's always somebody else handling his account, but it's always like the big people get happy birthdays, and then it's like when it's somebody that's not good, it's just like, Oh, it's Christian's birthday. Oh, all the enthusiasm of Todd Grisham when he
becomes... It's Christian.
It's Christian. That's somebody else he's been... before we move on to our final inductee, just... Christian's someone that's been batted about as someone that's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Just, I'm going to give you just a wee minute each just to say someone you want in the Hall of Fame. Alan, you can have someone other than Bulldog if you want to maybe put another one forward.
Oh. Rock.
Rock.
The Rock deserves to be one.
I think The Rock would be in if it wasn't for the fact DX, The Rock, much like Undertaker.
Has to be one as the top
person. Yeah, the top headliner, absolutely.
I think, yeah, definitely.
If this is Taker last year, next year's Taker.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing makes sweet is because it's back in Florida next year.
Mm-hmm. Maybe The Rock.
Could be. If The Rock would just take, you know, around about April, March, April off, just for like 2 months off, might get him in, you know. Might get an actual WrestleMania match we want.
Fuck's sake, just think there'll be 19 movies not made in that time because The Rock is always making a movie.
And TV shows.
And TV shows and everything else, apps, everything. So The Rock for his contribution to TV, film and apps, not at all for wrestling. Nathan, anyone else you'd like to see in?
Ahmed Johnson. You mentioned him earlier, I'd go with Vader.
Yeah,
I think he's the best big man in wrestling. That's the
fair enough. And Dave, anyone you'd like to see?
I had three names for rolling about there. I'm going to go with one, and I'm going to go with NXT General Manager William Regal. I think Regal, for his longevity, for his not only his contributions to WWE career in WCW, also what he did in the British independent scene. Like, he came up at the time where the sort of golden era was dying down of that. Like, Big Daddy and who's the other guy again? Giant Haystacks. Were still main eventing cards when he was coming up as Steven Regal. So it's a link into that history, and I think it'd be good, especially with the launch of the NXT UK brand, to have William Regal there front and centre.
Fair enough. And just a couple of names I'd throw in there. I'd mentioned Christian, Alan's mentioned Bulldog, Goldust, who's recently left the company.
Yeah.
And we think he's retired, we don't know. There might be another Saudi Arabia show. Kane.
Yeah.
I think every one of them deserves to go in, and obviously we mentioned earlier briefly Taz. So good few names. Hopefully we see all of them go in the future. But the last group we're going to mention, possibly the most influential group in the Attitude Era. Everybody knows at least one of these members. You know, you could put every one of them in on their individual careers alone. But it's Billy Gunn and Friends. It's the, I waited so long for that.
I knew it was coming.
No, it's China and Friends, boy.
It's D-Generation X. So another two-time Hall of Famer, Shawn Michaels. The Game, Triple H. The Badass, Billy Gunn. The Road Dog, Jesse James. The Ninth Wonder of the World, China. And Shawn, the 1-2-3 Kid X-Pac.
Yeah.
So all six members going in. Tell me, where the hell is Tori?
Where is Tori?
Where is Hornswoggle?
Where's Stephanie McMahon?
Where's IRS?
Yeah. Where's Rick Rude?
No, it's Rick Rude.
Oh, Rick Rude, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just mistaken.
IRS and case. All. Let's throw him in there.
I'll fucking throw IRS in.
It's a black slick back here. They all look the same.
Are we going to take them all at once, or are we going to break it down?
Yes!
Thanks for that. See you later.
He's waited all day to say that.
So, DX, I think this is one of the ways that I don't mind a two-time Hall of Famer when it is a massive faction. But I think tag teams are a bit, as we talked about earlier, you know, if the tag team's good enough to go in and one's already in, the other one should just get their own induction. D-Generation X, so first off, let's just favourite DX moments. Nathan, I'll start with you.
On the spot.
Well, I mean, we did prepare this show a week in advance.
Could be something that happened to DX.
Go.
Austin dropping the whoever it was in the DX bus.
Ah, he dropped like a compactor on the DX Express. He blew it up.
Stop my head there, yeah.
DX evading WCW.
That's always a classic.
I like the night after WrestleMania when Shawn Michaels retires and it's Triple H announcing that he's going to reform DX under his new leadership, because I think that was the turning point in Triple H's career.
I'll go with the classic Mocking the Nation, because it is. And I
have. As well.
It's not aged well, but it's one of those ones, and we actually talked about it on the controversial side of wrestling, so like myself and Kwaku, that Kwaku found it funny, and my thing was, if it's something that makes fun of a certain group or race or certain types of people, religion, whatever, and someone of that race, religion, colour is not offended, It's people who aren't of that really race, religion or colour that turn around and go, you should be offended. We're offended on your behalf, you know. It's not aged well, but at the time, it was fine. It's a classic skit and, you know, it's still fun. You know, the entire nation went, yeah, on you go.
Yeah.
So, for me, that's their classic skit. So, we'll just talk about everyone just a wee bit individually. First off, China, there was a lot of... There's been a lot of controversial Hall of Famers that have done controversial things outside the ring. China's adult film career, I don't think any of us would say, took away from what she did in the ring.
No.
And, you know, the fact that Hulk Hogan's been brought back, we've mentioned him a lot on the show, we don't want Hulk back. It's done. Sorry, Hulk, you fucked it.
Yeah.
But Hulk Hogan is someone you can Google and find racist rants and criminal charges against his son for reckless driving and, you know, a sex tape, which was the big reason they didn't want to bring China back. It just throws that whole Triple H logic of what if my child goes on and Googles your name argument. She is going in, so, you know, that is a victory in itself, but it's just a shame she's not here to get it.
Yeah, exactly. She did porn, she didn't murder anyone. You know what I mean? Exactly. At the end of the day, put things in context.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, it's astonishing to me she hasn't been in before. She was a huge part of Triple H's character from the get-go, huge part of DX from the get-go, had some great moments. Remember when she came number one contender to the WWE Championship, first woman to enter the Men's Royal Rumble match, had that classic victory against Ivory, which is often overlooked at WrestleMania, but that was a good rivalry reading in, and I know it was somewhat of a squash in the end up, but it's a good moment to see China lifting that women's title at WrestleMania. It's an iconic image, she's an iconic performer for the company, and I don't think it's a question that she should have been in before now.
Can't be fault for that. I just exactly agree, completely agree with Dave, but I do think she did deserve to go in on her own. She was that much of a trailblazer, especially for women's wrestling.
Yeah, kind of following what the guys are saying, you know, you're talking about earlier on, you made the point, a women's single match at WrestleMania, she'd done that. She actually won a men's title, she won the Intercontinental title, great rival Jericho. I'm not upset that she's not in as a singles competitor. Her time will come, no question, you'd have seen that now. She's a pioneer, she was 20 years ahead of the game. If she was about now, she would be running that women's division. WrestleMania 35, she'd have been the main event, and it says, I don't even know if Becky would have been that. I think she might have taken over from Becky's whole spotlight or whatever, but she was ahead of the game. It's a definite she's going to go in on her own. It's only a matter of time, but she's one of these people two time that totally will deserve it.
And she's the exact encapsulation of intergender wrestling done right, because she was never... Sometimes she's presented as an underdog in the match, but it was never presented as though China has no chance of winning here. What is she doing in the ring with this guy? Like, she was presented as a fighter and a warrior and a gladiator, and that's what I love about the China character. Like, not even you can take the woman out of it, and like, depending on whether you like her or not, that's absolutely fine, but the China character is like peak WWE and doesn't get enough credit for the success of the Attitude Era as a whole, never mind going in the Hall of Fame.
No, absolutely. Like, you talk about she entered the 99 Royal Rumble number 30. Nobody expected her to win, and everyone expected her to go in and get flung out right away. What's the first thing she do? She goes after her boyfriend in the match, Mark Kenny, kicks the crap out and throws him out the ring. He was the world's strongest man at that point, is the odds on favourite to win it. That just shows how much they thought, right, we can't let you win it, but we're going to let you have a big moment. That's how much they thought of her.
There was always talk backstage, and I think it's a shame we weren't in the era we're in now, where women are getting more opportunities, because although she did get a lot of men's opportunities, there was always that hesitation from Vince McMahon to not give her the big one, to give her the title. And it's just a shame we're not in that time now, you know.
That's been class, man. Can you imagine that?
She'd have been a phenomenal heavyweight champion. Phenomenal.
Even if it was just for a couple of months, even if it was just like a Mick Foley, like a 2-3 week reign.
You did it like the Kane thing, the one night, because it's not going to happen again.
Yeah, because...
As much as I love Becky... Sends out. Yeah. No. It's not like... As much as I love Becky and Charlotte and Ronda's competitors, they ain't ever going to win the Universal title, the WWE title. Mm-hmm. But the thought of, like, her for one night, doesn't matter who's the champion, Undertaker, Rock, Kane, Austin, beats the crap at once, and then they get the rematch closed, and they could do the dirty on her.
Oh, totally.
Attack her from behind, ref comes through,
And you talk about Trailblazers as well. We wouldn't have the model of, like, we wouldn't have people like Beth Phoenix who's coming back recently. We wouldn't have a Nia Jax. We wouldn't have these bigger women who are outside the mold of the models WWE used to hire if you didn't have China doing it first in the 90s.
Yeah. I think if she was still alive and on good terms with WWE, she'd be a headliner, I think.
I think she would have definitely been in that battle royal. I think.
In terms of Hall of Fame, I mean, like headline.
Oh, no, Hall of Fame, yeah, Hall of Fame, and I think she would have been in the Women's Rumble and the Battle Royal and all that, much
like. And Evolution.
Evolution, yeah. Yeah, it's a shame, plus her classic work with Eddie Guerrero, and even as you said, Eddie Guerrero beat her for the Intercontinental title because she got knocked down and he hugged her, but her shoulders were down, so he accidentally pinned her. You could have done that. Like Mark Henry, maybe. You know, he'd have got his moment sooner.
And Chris Drago was also apparently said the best rival he ever had was China. He loved working with her. He said, I could throw her about in the ring. I knew she would take it. And I knew she could throw me about in the ring.
See, I think
we could do it right. And look, when you look back at that rivalry, I don't remember a poor match.
That's a recent one, though, I think, with Jericho, because in his book originally he slated her and he got a massive backlash. So I think now he's realised.
What did he say in the book?
He basically implied she was only there because of Triple H. And then I think
Triple H didn't have the pull back then.
I think the it was like more the click that had the pull. Like Triple H had to go through people to get pull. He wouldn't have been able to get that much pull for China. So we go from China to X-Pac. X-Pac was one, I think we all thought he would be the only click guy never to go in. I think when you look back in his matches, classic match with Razor Ramon, some great matches in the light heavyweight and cruiserweight division in both WWF and WCW. Great matches with the likes of Rock. We always talk about how Kane brought Daniel Bryan out of his shell and gave him a comedy aspect and a more likeable aspect in WWE. X-Pac did that for Kane years before. He was the first guy to get Kane to talk. He had feuds with The Rock, he ended up feuding with Kane, he had feuds with the Road Dogg, teamed with the Road Dogg, great feuds with the Dudleys. It's good to see him go in, but I think although he does deserve it, we all knew he would only go in a group with X-Pac.
I don't know, I think he would have been inducted on his own. I think when you hear guys talk about like Benoit, Malenko, Guerrero, it's been like smaller guys who influenced like grand football in the time when it was Land of the Giants, who influenced other smaller guys to get in the wrestling. I think he's in that category. I think he deserves three on his own, yeah.
Fair enough.
I think he would have gone eventually, but he deserves to win. And plus, my favourite rival him was Shane McMahon.
Was great.
The European title, brilliant. He was a great mid-card champion. And you always knew you were going to get at least a 7 out of 10 match. Didn't he have many poor matches?
And people seem to have this problem with mid-carders going in. Like, they're just as an important part of the show as the main event. Maybe they're not drawing people in. But if you have a great mid-card, then it's going to keep people invested throughout the entirety of the show.
Exactly.
X-Pac was a strong, steady hand in the mid-card. I just wish he had the worst catchphrase in the business. See, when he comes back, he's like, raise some hell and light it all. And he's like, no one cares, mate. Stop trying to make it happen.
He's always used.
Stop trying to make fetch a thing. It's not going to happen.
It's like that.
Vince always used them as a measuring stick for bringing in new talent. If he had a good match with X-Pac, then he'd have a good run.
He did. He had the sort of, it used to be called X-Pac heat, I think it would be called Dolph Ziggler heat now, because it just got to the point, it was so over, but then it got to a point around about 2001 where people were just sick of X-Pac, and much like people are sick of Dolph Ziggler now, and it was a shame. I think the fact that he's went away, much of Dolph went away, we would have appreciated him a bit more.
Yeah.
And I think it is good he's going in. So we'll go from them to the Outlaws, Billy Gunn holding up Road Dogg, Jesse James for.
I was going back to F-Pac, so I don't know.
No,
but when he came back to WF, it kind of kickstarted a trend where younger WCW guys were now jumping over WF, and that turned the tide in Monday Night Wars.
Yeah, because it led to like the likes of the Radicals, I should say. Couldn't even say it. The Radicals, Jericho, and more, you know, as you said, that's a very good point. So this ironically started with another Hall of Famer, Honky Tonk Man. Honky Tonk Man took then known as the Roadie, who was teaming with Jeff Jarrett, under his wing because Jeff Jarrett left. And then, the Roadie had been left, which is hard to remember. The Roadie had left Jeff Jarrett, and Jeff Jarrett left the company. And Honky Tonk Man had Billy Gunn as his new protege. And the Roadie came out and said, don't be with him because I carried people for far too long. You deserve better. And these two guys that couldn't get over on their own became all of a sudden Mr. Ass and the trash talking machine that was Road Dog Jesse James. It was just, it's just so bizarre when you think of the origins of it. Like, you think of them just being recruited into DX as already solid stars. They were people on the verge of being released.
Yeah.
They were like, they were the equivalent of the Ascension back in the day. And so quickly they became such a successful tag team, six-time WWE tag team champions, both Intercontinental champions, both hardcore champions. Billy Gunn's a 1999 King of the Ring. I will defend that till the day I die, much like I do Mabel's 1995 King of the Ring. And it's just, it's great to see them go in. I think they could have went in as a team on their own, but it's good to see them go in with DX. I think their popularity all comes from DX, as we've seen when they tried to split them up in 99.
Yeah, I mean, they're unbelievably over. Imagine they had the crowd channeling with their entrance and everything. I think people forget actually how over they were.
Yeah, and there was great when they came back as well. Like, even the most recent run, like, that was like turning back the clock a bit for me. Like, because you looked at them both and you're like, you're both still really quite decent workers, but they were coming in, sure they won the belts. But it was against Cody Rhodes, who could have recovered anyway, and then Aging Goldust. So it wasn't as though they were like burying any younger talent, and they put over the Shield like really well at that year's WrestleMania. Over in the Attitude Era, would have went in as a tag team anyway. All right to see them in as with Degeneration X. Very happy.
And yeah, and also they helped pave the way to put Edge and Christian, the Hardys, the Dudleys over, and they built the tag team wrestling. As we know, we mentioned yesterday, Steve mentioned it. I'm not a fan of tag wrestling, but you go back to the Attitude Era. They're the pioneers that kept it going, because after the LOD went, there was nobody there to take over that mantle. They two came in and went, right, we'll do it, and we'll build a division. And within 4 years, there's never, that was the greatest tag team wrestler ever. There's never been anything close to it.
It's the peak of tag team wrestling.
Yeah, in any promotion anywhere in the world ever, that was it. And the tag team matches was a match people will want to watch. Nobody cared about the main event. When you knew TLC was on, you didn't care that Rock and Austin are fighting that night. You wanted to see Jeff Hardy get speared 20 feet off the ground. That's what you wanted, you know. Is it what pop you're going to get? And that's, and they're the guys that set the groundwork and put the foundations in, and rightfully deserve to win.
You know, the only thing I'd say is I don't know, I think Chuck is a bit harder to fight here. That could have been the induction.
Yes, Chuck's going to petition. His former lover is not taking him back, and Kay Quick is ready to get rowdy. But Road Dogg has abandoned him once again. The
Bart Gunn as well.
Bart Gunn, oh, for fuck's sake, don't mention Scott McLeod on the podcast. Shut it. I've always been the Billy. And the thing you mentioned, obviously, they helped pave the way for big booming tag team wrestling, but for a wee while, much like the Usos in WWE from like 2012 to 2014, there was only really one steady team. And that was the Outlaws. You know, you look at them, it was like Undertaker and Big Show, and then the uneasy alliance of Shawn Michaels and Austin, and Austin and Undertaker, and Austin and Dude Love, and Austin and his partner of the week, and Kane and X-Pac, and Rock and Sock. You know, these were always guys that would split off back in a singles competition, but the likes of the Outlaws stayed as a team. And I think you saw the tag team division suffer when in 99 they tried to put them in separate separate categories. So I think everything's been said that could be said about Shawn Michaels being a WWE Hall of Famer, you know, back when he was inducted, since he's been inducted. We're going to end talking about, to me, possibly one of the most deserving wrestlers to go in the Hall of Fame ever. He knew how to play the game. He is the game. He is Triple H. I think even if he never wrestled a match, his contributions from NXT and the current product are just undeniable. He's just such a... He just gets wrestling. He gets what the current crowd want. And I think that's why NXT's done so well. But, you know, from his wrestling career as well, classic rivalries with the best of the best, The Rock, Austin, Undertaker, Kane, start with Nathan. Some of your favourite Triple H memories, some matches, just...
I just remember it was being one, probably one of the best deals I've seen. When I first started watching the WWF, it was him against Foley, actually. It was the main rivalry. Then going to him against The Rock, and I hated him. Absolutely hated him. There's everything about him. The smarminess, he's mad to Stephen, man, just everything. And he's kind of continued that. He's been a face throughout his career as well, but he's always been a guy that people love to hate. And that's his best legacy, I think.
I think the thing as well, they always mention, and don't get me wrong, I think we can all agree he's had certain things and certain privileges from being the son-in-law of Vince McMahon. But you don't get that far if you can't wrestle as well as Triple H can. He's always been, like, much like we talked about the Marty Jannetty, he's always been the second place to Shawn, but he's pretty damn good in his own right, I think.
Well, like I mentioned yesterday in the show, if you go back, or just what happened, it came up on Facebook, it was Kane versus him at WrestleMania 15, and you see how poor he actually was back then. His timing, his movement, he just didn't look fit. If you look back to the WCW days, they weren't great. You could see why he really struggled, but that after that WrestleMania, something just clicked on him, and they would say about the 2000 period, that's when he became the guy. And just on your point, I'd actually go as far to say he's Triple H is the greatest heel wrestler I've ever had.
I'll give it that.
When he goes a full deep in there, you literally just want to, you want to get a knife and just fling it in there. You really do, because he knows how to get into your skin. You know, and he's been a decent, I'd say he's been a decent face. He hasn't been an overwhelming phenomenal face. He's never been like a Rock or a Boston, but he's always had quality matches, and as I was saying yesterday as well, it's like worst game, he gets better with age. You look at him fight, you know, at the Saudi Arabia show, and you compare that to the 99 WrestleMania, it's not the same guy. You just look at that, can't the same guy, and you're like, no, it is. This guy's getting better and better. And look at his shape, he's 49 and he's in better shape then now than he was, you know, 20 years ago. He was, you know, 29. Absolutely deserving to go in. But I've seen a lot of heat about it because the privileges, they're saying, oh, he needs to go in. This is his way of testing the water to see if he can go in. That guy deserves to go in. That he will be a 3-time Hall of Famer, no doubt. And forget the fact that he's married to Stephanie. He won with DX, he'll go on himself, and he will go on Revolution.
Yeah.
No questions.
That would make fun.
Absolutely phenomenal. And the best thing I love about him, he's more than happy to put anyone over.
And that's the point I was going to make. Like, you talked about his improvement. He's always said he was a student of the game. He always, like, we've known that he's had this encyclopedic knowledge of wrestling since he came in. He always worked to try and improve himself. So the fact that he came from where he was to where he is today, one of the best wrestlers I've ever seen on the planet, is something. But it's like you're saying, Alan, like, look at the amount of people in the roster who don't owe their careers to Triple H, but always set part of their push or be taken to that next level thanks to Triple H. You look at your Randy Orton's and Evolution, you look at your Batistas, you look at your John Cena's, you know what I mean? You look even at Edge and Randy Orton, rated RKO. If he didn't get that injury, he was more than willing to put them over. You know what I mean? You look at even today, he's put over basically every member of the Shield. Like, he's had great matches at WrestleMania against The Undertaker, losing both times, going out and he's back to The Undertaker at the end of the year match. And Ross, like you say, inventing NXT, coming up with that concept, trying to take the WWE in a new direction and try to refresh it. Triple H is phenomenal. One of the greatest wrestlers of all time. To say that he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame just because he's married to the boss's daughter is quite frankly farcical, I think.
Yeah, totally agree. There's only two things. The only thing I really don't like about Triple H's whole career, we had that stupid Prince Albert
attached
him. That, it just looked creepy.
I think that was his Lemmy look. He wanted to pay off. Because he grew up for WrestleMania when Lemmy played him to the ring, and then he kept it for like another 3 years.
He's a big fan of Harley Race as well.
That was just dodgy looking. You learn from yourself. Like, but no, he says the only mistake you've had in his career is the mullet. You learn and move on.
My first exposure to Triple H actually was WrestleMania 22. Just before 22 was when I started watching. I remember being scared of him as a wee guy. It's like you were saying, even he's one of the greatest heels of all time. Him coming out of that sledgehammer. And what's good about wrestling is when it's believable. I look at Triple H and I think, if I saw him in a dark alley carrying that hammer, I am a dead man. You know what I mean? And that's the type of image he has.
Well, to put a point across, right, so here's all this, you can't hear us right now. My pal Scott and I were talking years ago when Triple H first cut his hair. Spitting image of her dad. I was terrified. I'm like watching like her dad coming through the ring with a sledgehammer going, crap.
As we all know, one of the H's in Triple H stands for Hazel, so I think that was that was only fitting.
Hunter Hazel, that's exactly.
And do you know what? I know it's a minor thing, but a big part of a wrestler's character is the look. And when he cut his hair, I was afraid that it was going to take something away from Triple H. But to be fair, I think he owns it now. Like,
he looks better.
Yeah, I actually think
he looks better. Total beard envy here. Total bearded. I want that beard.
He's do you know what he looks like? He looks like a warrior out of Skyrim. I mentioned Skyrim on far too many of these podcasts.
He looks like Kratos from God of War.
He really does.
Maybe he should voice a dragon, Ross.
Can I just bring up one last point? It's just when you were talking about him being a student of the game. I think it was the very first Tough Enough he was doing it, and he's sitting there, and Josh Matthews is the only name I can remember that's in the crowd, is trying to obviously, and he's like, why do you want to be a wrestler? And I'm like, world champion. He's like, why do you want to be a wrestler? And he's really digging, and he starts off with character, but you see him especially like that, and you see him probably coming out, it's about entertaining, it's about believing. But he's making people who are not fans that don't want to believe you are that person, you are going to do that to that person and take that sale. And you know, I don't think there's anyone out there in the world that has the passion for wrestling as that man does. I'll argue with anyone, nobody. And I mean, like Sarah Gay is probably the most passionate person about wrestling on our podcast. Yeah. He leaves her for dust. No offense, Sarah, but he does. You know, the guy knows what he's doing.
And just to, that's one of the reasons I'm really excited for the Triple H Batista match coming up, just to keep it a bit topical, because Triple H is that student of the game. Batista, if you read his autobiography, is also that. Mm-hmm. Those two are going to go out there and it's going to be like old school WWE, and I don't mean that to disparage the current product, but we're going to get a great story, we're going to get a well-paced match. This is going to be like, it's not going to be a technical match in the sense that you're not going to see them like go from submission hold to submission hold, but in terms of classic storytelling, look out for Triple H Batista at WrestleMania, by the way.
That's a good shout, actually.
It's very good, right. So, safe to say, I think we agree just about every single one of them deserves to go in, except Nathan's against the Beefcake. A good class of Hall of Fame, I think we're all... Any complaints we had is just the fact that the two-timer thing for Ric Flair has been sort of ruined. It's not been a gradual thing, it's not as if they did Harlem Heat 1 year, TX 1 year, the Hart Foundation the next year, the fact that they did them all at once.
If it was just like Shawn Michaels and DX this year, like when it was first announced, I think it would have been absolutely spot on. I wouldn't be able to argue it.
I think another faction I think deserves to go in, and two of them are already in the Hall of Fame, the other two will be in the Hall of Fame, I think, on their own, because they were very popular. One was one of the most popular of all time, one was very popular in the Attitude Era. Nation of Domination.
Yeah.
Godfather's already in.
Yeah.
Mark Henry's already in. D'Lo Brown deserves to be in. I think we all agree that. Farouk is already in. Sorry, I should say. There's five of them. And The Rock, we've mentioned him earlier.
And if you want to add them in, hopefully one day we do get him in. Owen Hart.
Owen Hart.
Yeah. The thing with The Nation, though, is... like, it's going to be like the biggest pop for The Rock. Can you imagine The Rock coming out to The Nation music with the other members of The Nation now?
I can't really do the whole... arm up thing, because that's a fascist thing.
I don't want The Rock to wear a suit at that Hall of Fame. I want him to wear the big black t-shirt with the big white R on it. It's just, it's the worst and yet greatest t-shirt in wrestling history. It's just a big R.
If he goes in because of that, he has to go with the beat the hair back and the huge sideburns to get the curls back.
Yes.
He needs to go back to like 1997-98 Rock.
Wear the pajamas.
I don't know. If we're talking about stables, I'm still holding out for King Booker's court to go in there, man.
I mean, that could make King Booker a three-time Hall of Famer. It gets William Regal in there like you want.
Yeah, and Finlay.
He deserves it. And then Charmel.
Do you know what? Three times.
Oh, God, is there some way we can get Booker T in five times?
I just think that...
King Booker's court, King Booker is itself, and then commentary...
He was in the Misfits in Action.
G.I. Bro.
Yeah.
And Henry Goldust.
They'll buy TNA, put him in with the Main Event Mafia, put in WCW as a whole.
That's a seven year.
Yeah.
I mean, he won six world titles.
Pre-show panels.
he was a great commentator as well.
I hate him as a commentator.
I liked him as a commentator.
I hated him, and then we got the coach, and the only reason I thought coach was better was because coach only spoke nonsense once an hour for his brother Bella. Booker T talked nonsense constantly.
Nah. You've seen that movie Byron Saxton?
We're getting into commentators and wrestling now. Well,
for me, Byron just needs to get gagged.
I like the moment.
I think Renee's worse.
I enjoy Renee. Yes.
Renee can do so well, and then it's just went downhill.
Moving swiftly on. veering wildly back on topic. This has been our Hall of Fame show. I'd like to thank the panel, Alan, for both being on the panel and hosting us here today.
No worries. Thanks so much.
Nathan.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
David Campbell.
I can't wait to win back my title this week. Go fuck yourself, Hockney.
What David is referring to is our monthly sweeps, which we are now doing two of this month. We are doing a sweeps on Friday for our ESSR title and a sweeps on Sunday for our ESSR title once again. Sarah and myself will be live tweeting NXT TakeOver New York, so follow us on Twitter @SuplexRetweet. Also find us on Instagram and Facebook. You can also find us on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, anywhere that. Anywhere.
Google.
Sleep Suplex Retweet. We're there.
SuplexRetweet.com.
Exactly. You'll find our website. It'll take you anywhere you want to go. The Magical Mystery Tour. This is a horrible outro. But yeah, find us there. I'll be live tweeting part of WrestleMania. I'm getting help to do it. I'm not doing all 8 pissing hours. And catch up on the rest of the week. We have had an interview with TJ Perkins, which is an absolutely fantastic listen, by Stephen Wilson. Andy Mitchell hosted a great show, proving once again why he's better than David Campbell.
Really?
about Batista. Derek Kernahan was back in the hosting chair talking Kofi Kingston.
I like that one.
Sarah Grieve was hosting NXT TakeOver Preview. Scott McLeod hosted The Best of the Rest, talking about all the independent shows happening around WrestleMania weekend. David Hockney.
The former champ.
The soon to be former champ.
Hosted
a great undercard show. Stephen Wilson will be hosting a main card show, that'll be out this Saturday. Alan McLucas here will be hosting our next day instant reactions.
Hopefully here as well.
Yes, hopefully here as well. Stephen Wilson will be back next week for our live show, hosting our full in-depth weekend review. I recently got a chance to interview Al Snow, that'll be available on Sunday. And Ryan Gallagher recently got a chance to interview current WWE backstage correspondent Scott Stanford.
Yes, future Hall of Famer.
So keep an eye out for that. Look, you heard how long it took me to get all that out in the open. There is so much there, and there is so much more. There's interviews with Seth Rollins, The Miz, Lionheart, Mark Dallas, James Storm, every single member of the Filthy Generation. We have so much there. So many shows on The Rock, Austin, women's wrestling as a whole, a women's only show. We'll get reviews of Glow, pay-per-views, everything. Give us a subscribe, eat, sleep, suplex, retweet, iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, and Android podcasting sites. Thank you very much. Good night.
Listen, cunts, I don't care what the fuck you think you're doing, whatever you think is more important with your life, you honking bag of dick tips. You know what you should be doing? You should be going online, you should be subscribing, you should be listening to the back catalogue of eat, sleep, suplex, retweet, whatever the fuck you're doing. That's what you should be doing. I don't care if it's your mum's birthday. I don't care if she's feeling contractions. Get on it right now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.